we have a Savior who made himself flesh, that he dwelt among us and paid the price, the penalty for our sin. And that my prayer is today that you know the power of the blood, that you've been cleansed by the power of that blood. Today we're going to look at Jesus' mission in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 51. And we'll read down through 62. Now it came to pass, when time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered a village of the Samaritans to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now it happened as they were journeying on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell, who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You may be seated. Have you ever been on a mission to the store? Perhaps you needed to get one item to finish the project for a home improvement project. Perhaps you needed one item to finish the ingredient for whatever it is that you're making for dinner. How many of us have had focus to go into the store and get that one item and then return home with the item that we need? I submit to you today, I bet there are many of us that have lost focus going into the store. A few weeks ago, I decided to be adventurous and paint my fence. That turned into a whole fiasco. I didn't know we were living in the United States of Russia and dealing with my home owners association. But nonetheless, I decided to be brave and to paint my fence. It needed painting. So I went into the large hardware store near my house. And you know, we become overwhelmed when we go in such large places. I've never seen so many paints. I've never seen so many different kinds of paintbrushes. I didn't even know there are so many different kinds of paint thinner. So I began looking for the one item that I needed, which was a paintbrush. I just needed one item to finish my fence. I began walking up and down the aisles and, oh, I see some weed killer here, so I put that in my cart. Get over to this other aisle, I put in a plastic tray that I'm going to pour the stain in. Get to another aisle, I buy the little wooden roller without the fuzzy part at the end of it. I don't know what you call that thing. To roll on the paint. I keep going and I'm buying all these things. So I go and purchase them, I load them in my trunk, I get home. I began to pull out these things and I began to put the paint, the stain, in the plastic tray. Then I began looking for my paintbrush. I looked all over for that thing. I didn't buy it because I had lost focus. Now, if you have never had that happen to you, I'm going to change my sermon and we're going to preach out of Exodus 20, which talks about lying. Because I know every one of us, it doesn't matter whether we go into a grocery store, we go into a hardware store, it doesn't matter where we go, many times we lose focus because we're bombarded by all of these different products. But you see, sometimes that happens to us as Christians. We have one mission. And that mission is to fulfill the Great Commission. The Great Commission tells us to go out into all of the world, and that while we're going, we're to share the gospel. You see, we have one mission, but we're bombarded on every side with different things in this culture that distract us from fulfilling that one mission. We look around us today, and we think that while we're gathered here, we focus on that mission. You may say amen. You may indicate that you agree that we have one particular mission. But when we leave these doors, many times that mission becomes secondary. But you see, we let all of these things of the world distract us. We become too busy. We're doing so many things. We have our hands in so many pies, so to speak. But you see, we forget to share the gospel. And many times we forget, even when we're doing good things. Many of us may be serving in many different ways. You know, it's a good thing to feed the hungry. It's a good thing to clothe the poor. It's a good thing to give water to the thirsty. But if we do not share the gospel, what have we given them? If we give them a glass of water, what are they going to be coming in an hour or two and asking for? More water. What if we feed them? We give them a box of food. What are they going to be coming back the next day to ask for? Another box of food. You see, our primary purpose as the church is not to meet social needs. The primary purpose of the church is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, we will see lives transformed. This is why Jesus tells the Samaritan woman, I have water that which you will drink from, that you will never be thirsty again. He says, I am the bread of life. He who eats from me will never hunger again. You see, we need to remain focused on our task. And really, that is the most important thing that we can learn from this passage, because we learn that from the Savior himself. We are to remain focused. You see, Jesus, clothed in the flesh of humanity, came for one purpose. He came so that he might sacrificially die for us, that he would give his life on the cross, so that we might have life, because we in and of ourselves cannot pay the penalty for our sin. Jesus never lost focus of that mission. You see, earlier in this chapter, Jesus was training his disciples, and this is about the 3-year period in which Jesus is getting ready to go to Jerusalem for the final time to celebrate that last Passover. And when he celebrates that last Passover, he knows that he is not coming out of Jerusalem, that he's going to die and be buried there, and on the third day, he's going to rise again. But you see, he's training his disciples along the way to carry on the mission. You look back and you look in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says that Jesus sent them into the surrounding villages and communities to do what? To preach the gospel. To preach the kingdom of God. See, their mission was to prepare the way so that others would know how to have a relationship with the Savior. Now, did they do physical things for individuals? Yes. It says they were preaching and they were healing and they were meeting the needs of people. But their primary goal was to preach the gospel. And it says in Luke 9, verse 6, it says that they were preaching the gospel and healing, with the caveat that they were doing so everywhere. We need to be about that everywhere. It's not just going to Brazil and sharing the gospel there. Praise God for the 235 salvations that they experienced. But what about the people that were passing through the Miami airport? where they were stuck. Share the gospel there. Share the gospel on the plane. Share the gospel in restaurants. Share the gospel wherever we have been called to be at that particular time. And that's what the disciples are doing. You see, Jesus is beginning to prepare them for his impending death. And we see that Jesus in verse 51 says that he is focused on going to Jerusalem. Says that he steadfastly set his face on Jerusalem. Now that word steadfastly set in the Greek literally means that he set his face as stone. Today we would say that Jesus put on his game face. When we say that Jesus put on his game face, we mean that he is determined. He's not going to let anything distract him. He is determined to fulfill the one mission that God the Father has given him. He's not going to let the disciples distract him. He's not going to let the cost distract him. He's not going to let the political environment of the day distract him. He's not going to let other people distract him from the mission that God has given him. He was determined. During his time with his disciples, he often shared with them the kind of death by which he would die. You see, Jesus going into Jerusalem on this last occasion to celebrate the Passover, he knew what kind of death that he would face. Yet he went anyways. He tells the disciples in Mark and Luke and Matthew, says that he's going to be rejected of men. He's going to be mocked. He's going to be spat upon. He's going to be punched. He's going to be scourged. He's going to be nailed to a cross. And finally, he's going to be speared through the side, all the way through his heart, so that when blood and water pour forth, we know that our Savior has given his life for us. Jesus knew that it was no easy task to go to Jerusalem that last time. So why is it with us that we take for granted the task and we lose focus of the task that we have been given in the Great Commission? While we are going is the best translation of Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. While we are going, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to do all of the things that Jesus has commanded us. See, while we're going, many times we miss opportunities along the way because we're too focused on the future, what's going to happen ahead. Jesus was not just focused on what was going to happen in the future, but he was also concerned with what is happening now. Many times we as Christians, we lose focus because we tend to make excuses. How many of you have ever heard somebody, or you said it yourself, "I'm too busy to serve"? Heard this statement, "I'm not qualified." In the 21st century, this is a great one. "It's not my job." How many of you have heard that? It's your job. It's the one who has been gifted in that area. It's their job to fulfill the Great Commission. Guess what? The job is for every one of us. Can you imagine if Jesus made excuses? Think about Jesus. He tells the Father, "Look at these 12 men that you've given me to babysit. Look at all the things that they've gotten me into." He said, "Here's Peter. He's a fine example. You know, he's got a bass tournament this weekend. Last time I took him fishing, tried to get out of the boat. You remember what happened?" He said, "You know, who's going to tell Peter where to drop his net so they can catch the largest bass? You know, I've invested in him. I've got to see him through." And then there's Matthew. You imagine Jesus saying, "Well, you know, Matthew, he had an abundance of taxes this weekend. You know, being the IRS man that he is, he's gotten collected so many taxes that I've got to help him count the money. I just don't have time to go to Jerusalem." Then there's John, the youngest of all the disciples. You know, John's a runner. Have you ever seen John? He ran. He's going to run to the tomb to check out the tomb. He's going to beat Peter. And guess what? We've got to get this young man in university. He needs to be in the University of Alexandria. So we've got to get him a scholarship. And running is the way that he can do that. See, I'm just too busy to go to Jerusalem. What if Jesus had made all of those excuses? What if Jesus' attitude was like some of ours, that he's too busy, he's not qualified, it's not his job? We'd be up a creek without a paddle. We would be hopeless. You see, but Jesus didn't make excuses. We need to have the same resolve that Jesus Christ has, for if he had made excuses, we would be hopeless in our sins today. We would have no salvation. We would have no eternal life. For the only perfect man that could have given his life would have said, I'm too busy to do that. But he didn't. He remained focused on the task. Not only do we need to remain focused on the task, but we don't need to be frustrated by ignorance. Although Jesus was focused, you see, he didn't miss opportunities along the way. He sent his disciples into the Samaritan villages to prepare for him. We can't be so inwardly focused on our church, on our own lives, our own problems, that we miss opportunities to go out in the community. We can't be on cruise control. Now, how many of you have ever done this? You've been on the freeway, and on the freeway, a few miles down the road, you realize, I'm not going the way that I need to be going. I'm going to work or I'm going to home. You're on cruise control. I've done that in the sense that you wake up and you realize, I'm by habit going a way that I've gone many times. With all the construction out here, many of you have probably gotten on the express lanes because that's how you used to go. You see, we're on cruise control. We're not paying attention to what's happening around us. We miss opportunities along the way to share the gospel. Over 150 years of our church, we've certainly had a colorful history. And I want to share some of that history with you today because it helps us to remember where we have been, but it also helps us to remember what we need to do. You look around today and you see an average, it's really a below average Sunday for attendance. You realize in the middle of the 20th century, as this picture will show, we had 5,000 or more in attendance at First Baptist Church of Fort Worth when we were downtown. See, we have a large number of people who are in attendance today. But yet, why don't we have the 5,000 that we've had in the mid-20th century? Culture certainly has changed. But guess what? We're still sinners. We're still in the need of a Savior. We still sin in the same ways that they sinned back in the middle of the 20th century. But yet we're not focused on the community. We're focused inwardly. Then the second picture, if you guys can put the pictures up there, if you have those. The second picture was actually one of the choir. The choir filled the stage, probably 500 people in this choir. The stage was 100 feet long, and they filled the whole stage, and it said on the caption of this picture that all of the people who wanted to sing in the choir couldn't sing in the choir every week because there were too many. And I submit to you, people haven't changed in terms of their need, but people have changed because we no longer view the community as of any of importance, and we are not out in the community as we should be. We need to be in the community. We need to seize the opportunity. Some of the pictures, and maybe we'll see them at some point. But one of them is of Dr. Norris speaking at Paschal High School. Did anyone graduate from Paschal in here? There's one back there, Janet, Jereen. There was one in probably the 50s or 40s. These ladies aren't old enough for that, so. Where Dr. Norris is speaking to a packed crowd in Paschal High School. And you know what the caption said underneath? He was invited there by the school administration. You say, well, we can't do that today. We can't go into schools and share the gospel. But students, you can share the gospel. You are the ones on the ground floor. You are the ones who are in the school who have the responsibility of taking the gospel to your friends, to your co-students, to even your enemies, to those you don't get along with. See, we can't go in the gospel. We can't go with the schools and share the gospels physically as we did back then. But guess what? We have people there who can. Another picture that I found in the history of our church is J. Frank Norris preaching to businessmen. You know, many businesses shut down their doors so that the gospel could be heard by all of their employees. One of them was a railroad station in the stockyards. He shut down packing houses, the Leonard Brothers department store, Monning's Dry Goods. All of these places closed their doors so that the gospel could be shared. What does that mean for us today? We can't go and close down a business. We can't, for most part, we're not even invited to go into businesses and share the gospel. But guess what? Guess how Fort Worth has grown. Each of you who work in a factory or a business or an office have the responsibility to take the gospel where you are. You see, Jesus didn't do everything himself. Did he? He didn't go into the city, the Samaritan city, and prepare for himself. Who did he send? Verse 52. He sent messengers. He sent his disciples ahead of him. This is not something that the staff can do alone. We have 850,000 people in Fort Worth, over 2 million people in Tarrant County. And I can look around and I can see people who are engineers. I can see people who work in banks. People who work in the fashion industry. I can see people who are retired that go to senior citizens' functions. We need to take the gospel to all of these places. If we want to get back to what we saw with First Baptist Church being an effective change agent in the community, we have to get out of our comfort zone and we have to go out into the community to make the gospel known. And it requires every one of us. As a church, we need to be involved in every kind of industry. As a church, we need to be involved in all of the community, community-wide. For example, think about how Fort Worth has changed. But it really hasn't changed that much. If you're familiar with how that this church has helped to close down Hell's Half Acre. Remember downtown? There was that place that was full of prostitution. It's full of violence, gambling. City leaders didn't shut that down. The police didn't shut that down. Guess what shut that down? First Baptist Church going into the community, sharing the gospel, so that Jesus Christ changed the lives of drunkards. So that Jesus Christ changed the lives of prostitutes and Johns. So that Jesus Christ changed the life of those who are violent. You see, we need to be in the community, but we cannot be frustrated with the community's response. James and John went into the community. And you know when they rejected Jesus? They said, why don't we call down fire and destroy all of these individuals? But they had forgotten that they've had multiple chances to receive God's grace. You see, they weren't based on grace. They were based on works in what they were doing. This is why Jesus tells them that you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. The Son of Man did not come into the world to condemn or destroy the world. There are the pictures. You can look at them as they go by. But the Son of Man did not come to destroy the world, but he came to transform the world and give the world life. You see, we have to be that change agent. We can't be frustrated with our culture. Yes, we live in a culture that's totally degraded, it's totally debauched, but we have to know that they need the grace of Jesus Christ just as we needed the grace of Jesus Christ. Don't become bitter. Don't be frustrated. In order for us not to be frustrated, we need to understand what it means to follow Christ. We need to follow Christ regardless of the cost. For us to understand the cost, look in verse 57. It says there, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. That's an admirable sentiment. It's a great statement. I'll go with you wherever you go. But Jesus' response is kind of stark. For he tells them, foxes have holes, but birds of the air, they have nests. But the Son of Man, he doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. The cost for us to follow Christ is total surrender. See, earlier in this chapter, he said, take up your cross daily and follow me. We need to follow Jesus Christ in total surrender. When we take up our cross, it's not just bearing some burden. It's surrendering our lives to him. He who loses his life will live. He who does not lose his life, and he who lives will gain a second death in hell. For he who does not surrender to Jesus Christ and is without him is without hope. So we see that we need to follow Christ regardless of the cross. First of all, we need to not expect to be comfortable. Guess what? When we go out into the world, we're going to be persecuted. It says in 2 Timothy 3:12, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus says, for those of you who will follow after me, know that if the world hated me, it will also hate you. Note, if the world persecutes me, and it also persecute you. You see, it's not an easy road to go into the community. It's not easy for us to go into the community and share the gospel without experiencing persecution. We need to make sharing Christ the priority in our lives. Secondly, in verses 59 and 60, do not allow customs to interfere. It says here that the man simply wanted to go back and bury his father. And Jesus tells him, let the dead bury the dead. Culturally, what is happening here is that when you die, you are laid in a freshly hewn tomb where there's a shelf. And they place the body on this shelf. They wrap the body up. They put the body in spices. And then a year later, after the flesh has decayed, they go back and they move these bones into a box to make room for another body. That box is called an ossuary. You see, that's what Jesus is talking about here. Your father is already buried. Don't be concerned with customs. Don't be concerned with tradition. Think about all of the customs that we have here in the United States. We must keep busy. Think about all the people that when you got up this morning, you were thinking about, do I want to stay in bed and rest? I've worked hard all week. I've had a hard week. Or do I want to serve Jesus Christ and come and be equipped to reach the community? See, that's what we're told as a culture. We're told, rest. Have your day of rest. Your days off are your days off. You don't need to come to church. You don't need to be equipped to reach the community. You don't need to serve. That's what culture says. Culture also tells us to be busier than we really need to be. And I submit to you this. If you're parents and you're lamenting how much your kids run you ragged, remember you're the parent. If I ever have kids, they're going to get one choice of one activity that they do. And they're going to be in church. They're going to learn to serve. They're not going to be doing dancing and football and soccer and baseball. They get to pick one. What does it teach your kid if you tell them, we can go over here and we can practice on Sunday, or we can go to this game on Sunday and not meet in the house of the God, house of the Lord, to be equipped to reach the community? What's it tell them? Football is more important. Tells them that serving Jesus Christ is on the back burner to our own hobbies. So don't let customs interfere. Don't allow ceremonies to interfere. Here again, he wants to bid farewell to his family. And really, the ceremonies that I would say today is, don't let political correctness dictate your sharing the gospel. The issue is this. I've heard people say, I don't want to impose my faith on anyone. Let me ask you this question. If you were driving down the road and you knew the bridge was out up ahead, and you knew it to be true, would you not stop those individuals from driving down the road and saying, hey, look, the bridge is out up ahead, you shouldn't go this way? Have you imposed anything on them? No. They still have the choice. Some of them will say, hey, you're full of baloney, and they'll go and they'll drive off the bridge. Some of them will listen. But you haven't imposed anything upon them. You've given them the truth and allowed them to decide. Another thing that we see, and I could go on this category, people misusing Scripture. Matthew 7:1 says, judge not lest you be judged. People will use that as a way to justify their sin. You don't have the right to judge me. We have, as Christians who have the Holy Spirit, the right to know right from wrong. When somebody is sinning, we know what sin is, and we know what the responsibility for us to tell them that they are sinning. We're not condemning them. We don't convict them. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But to say and allow people to do whatever they want in the name of that we can't be judged is to misread that scripture. Don't allow political correctness to inform your understanding and presentation of the gospel. Finally, do not get caught up in the past. We talked about the past here. We looked at some of the things that we've done in the past as a church. But we cannot live in the past. Essentially, we have two paths to take. We can constantly focus on the past and say, I wish things were as they once were. And say, we've always done it this way. Or we can say, right here and right now are the opportunities for us to share the gospel. When we live in the past, we're always negative. But when we live in the present, we understand that we have an opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ right here, right now. Look around. Don't miss those opportunities. 2017, we need to be living for the Lord. We need to be bold in our presentation of the gospel. So as we conclude this message, the question that we must ask ourselves is this. Have we lost focus on our mission? Have we become distracted by all the things around us? Are we distracted by hobbies? Are we distracted by even serving without sharing the gospel? Are we distracted by political correctness? Are we saying there's no hope for our society? See, that's the worst thing that we can do is to answer for people. About 2 years ago, I guess I took the men downtown Fort Worth to Sundance Square to share the gospel. And they were saying, well, you know, we can't really go down there because it's a private area. The Bass Security Force will run us out. It's not Brazil. People are not going to listen. But guess what? We went, and 11 people accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. The problem is, when we don't focus on the here and now and we're not penetrating the community, things will never change. We have to change things from the ground up, taking the gospel to one person at a time. As followers of Christ, we must have our priorities right with Him. We need to cultivate our personal relationship with Him. Each day as we mature, we also need to make serving Him a priority in our lives. When we make serving Him a priority in our lives, there won't be enough room in here to house people, because Jesus Christ will have changed their lives. As we conclude, my prayer is that we as First Baptist Church, in our 150th year, we'll get back to the roots of sharing the gospel with the community to see transformation that only Jesus Christ can bring about. Join me in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for allowing us to hear Your word. And Father, we thank You for also seeing that example, which is in Jesus Christ, our Savior, who came and laid down His life for us, that even while we were yet sinners, He died for us, knowing that His mission was on cue. He was focused on His mission. And Father, we thank You for allowing us to be part and parcel of that ministry and that mission. Father, we ask that You would help us as First Baptist Church to reach the community, to be in high schools, to be in retail establishments, to be in office buildings, to be in manufacturing places, to be in senior adult living complexes, to be in senior centers, Father. Wherever we are, Father, we pray that we might prepare the way that people can have a relationship with You, so that You may change their lives and that we may see lives changed in this community. Father, we pray and ask for a burden for the lost people of this community. Refocus our attention and our lives. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.